Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on December 15th, 2021. So happy holidays to everybody. We'll be doing shows all through until next Wednesday. So we look forward to communicating with you as the holidays start to really coalesce around us. Okay, we have a lovely show today. I've got Krista Walker, returning guest, who's the professional development program manager at my good friends at Boxlight, and we're going to be talking about technology to support social and emotional learning, which is very interesting in terms of using all the things that they have, including STEM products, to create a good, supportive learning environment. Okay, and it's going to be an interesting show. Krista's a good guest. All right, we're going to archive at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. We just redid the site. It looks really great. Okay, up to date, looks modern, it's pretty cool, I got to tell you. We're proud of it. Okay, over at ace-ed.org. We'll archive this show over there, and the podcasts are now highlighted right in the center of the page. Okay, you can look down the whole list of them, et cetera, et cetera. Our magazine, Equity and Access, is now up at the top. Okay, you'll love it. The brand new issue up there, which is great, our December issue, okay, which is just absolutely excellent, our online journal. We have a link to SEL Today, which is our new website, which Boxlight helps us to participate in. All right, so it's really, really, really good stuff. So check it all out over at ace-ed.org. Let me bring Krista on here. And I'm special to
Good morning.
There you are. You're there. I thought I had to wait till it was done spinning. Hi, Krista. Good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Larry?
I'm fine. Where are you today?
I am in Gilbert, Arizona.
Wow. How beautiful. What's the temperature?
We are chilly today. We are still in the 40s, I believe, right now, which is pretty cold for us.
That is cold.
Okay. A little chilly
today. Are you up in the mountains? Where's Gilbert? Why is it 40?
I am just east of Phoenix. So, no, I am not high up. We are just having a cold front moving in. We're, unlike the rest of the country, we're well below where we normally are.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I live in Maine. It's like 38 degrees.
Okay. I know. Yeah, I think we're colder than Chicago today.
Oh, my God. Well, bundle up. My God, you must be wearing mittens and scarves and earmuffs. You must be freezing.
I got a blanket around me.
Oh, you poor baby. I'm so sorry. Okay, stay near the heater while we talk. Get a warm cup of tea, for goodness sakes.
That's
a pleasure
great.
To have you here today. Thank you, Krista, for being here. Professional Development Program Manager at Boxlight EOS. And we'll start off, just tell everybody about Boxlight and what products they have and what they and you do. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, Boxlight is a global education technology company and really supporting teachers with all facets of technology in their classrooms. Mm-hmm. So from interactive panels to our software programs, we have a large STEM piece for our offering. We also include professional development for all of the hardware, software, and programs that we provide for our schools districts that we work with. That is.
That's you. Okay. You work outside of Arizona, or you just do Arizona?
I do. Yeah. So we are across the U.S. as well.
No,
as
I meant you.
I meant you in particular.
So
yeah. If since COVID, we were focused in our areas and doing a lot of things virtual, but as things have opened up, have the opportunity to work with others across. I traveled to Florida recently, and we have people in Atlanta and up in Washington. So yeah, we have a chance to work across and actually get face to face with some people now when it's safe to do so.
It's nice, isn't it? I mean, be careful when we're doing it, but it's nice to see people and interact with them in a three-dimensional format. I got to tell you,
right.
I was over. If you Google, I think you do this. I went through a longer website, but if you Google boxlight.com, social emotional learning solutions, okay, it should pop right up. Boxlight.com, social emotional learning, and it'll probably just pop right up. And I find it interesting. I love the fact that you guys are so involved in this, that you're really a technology company. That's just great, okay? But you see it as a means to support social emotional learning. And if teachers
right.
use the tools you give them correctly, okay, it supports a nice learning environment that if I may, takes its time and allows kids
right.
to learn, all right, and creates a place where they can feel good and get back into it. I don't know how to say that the best I can,
yeah.
but just talk about that. Put SEL, social emotional learning, Krista, into the Boxlight scheme. I think it's really interesting the way you guys have presented this.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the things, yeah, SEL has been around for a very, very long time, and it's not a new concept, but I think for, you know, given what has taken place and, you know, like we said, not having that three-dimensional aspect
oh, yeah.
to it and living in our squares and our boxes that we've been talking to people, it really has become a priority and an initiative in a lot of districts that maybe had talked about it previously, but now are really looking at an impactful way to make it a part of their norms, their cultures. So for us, it's been really important to look at that through the lens of technology and where that can be utilized to support teachers. So oftentimes, you know, teachers express that, you know, SEL can be viewed as this really big thing and that maybe I don't feel qualified or that now I need to be a counselor. So it's really breaking it down in looking at what they have access to, in looking at what technology is available in their classrooms, and looking at
yeah.
ways that can best support them, and breaking up in manageable pieces. So for us, we really start with, you know, anything that we do when we're going into work with a school district is understanding who we're working with. And are they working with an SEL curriculum, or is this a plan of action that they have, or a specific initiative? And then what goals have been defined for them, or do they need to define some? And then looking at things that are familiar. So are they working in Google? Are they working in Microsoft? Do they have interactive panels or some of these softwares like our Mimio Connect program?
Mm-hmm.
So looking at those pieces and then asking them to first assess their own strengths and weaknesses and areas of support that they need, much like we would ask them to do with the students when we're talking about self-awareness. So by, you know, having those conversations with the teachers and looking at what they have and what's available, we can start to build on something that maybe feels uncomfortable with things that are already comfortable in their classroom. And because technology has been at the forefront in what we've been doing, it's not leaving the classroom, right? So even if they're in
right.
person, we have quarantine, we have COVID protocols, you may still have students that are
yeah.
out. And that's going to happen on a day-to-day basis anyways. So looking at how we can build these spaces and environments where SEL can be embedded into that. And then looking at what are we doing well? What do we need to improve on and what support do we need for that? And then that helps us with the teaching shift to use the technology to help better support them.
That's a good answer. Thank you, Krista. And I have to – and a detailed answer, I might add. I liked it. Okay. And I have – no, I'm serious. And you know, as you talk to teachers – and I find SEL – you know, I call SEL a social-emotional learning, a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
in education,
mm-hmm.
because for years, and this is the way we did it, okay, K-12 education is responsible in many ways for creating a workforce, a future workforce, all right? And
absolutely.
And we've been teaching the kids, and rightly so, I might add, literacy, academic skills, etc. But asking any given employer, any given company, they will say we need
mm-hmm.
people to, you know, be socially and emotionally correct. We call them soft skills. And I heard a quote one time that people are always hired for their hard skills and fired for their lack
mm-hmm.
of soft skills. They couldn't get along with the rest of the people, whatever the case may be. And finally, maybe it's the pandemic, okay, we're coming to a realization that social-emotional learning is as important as academic learning. We have to work the two together, which I think is what you guys are doing, okay? And as this new paradigm starts to coalesce, teachers in the classroom these days haven't been trained, okay, in social-emotional learning. We can talk about it and pretend they have been, but in reality, they haven't been, okay? You and I haven't been, per se, okay? But we're all learning as we go along. As you talk about this with educators who now are in the forefront of social-emotional learning, yet not trained how to do it, I know they might have curriculums, et cetera. When you go into the detail you just went into, which I liked, okay, talk about their reaction, just from what you've seen.
Yeah, so, and, you know, part of our offering for PD is it's staged. So we have, you know, the introductory level where we're just having those conversations. Like I said, that assessment piece is so important to really understand what they have and then be able to build on that. And again, with social emotional learning, it's much like if you're implementing it in the classroom, you have to build that trust with who you're working with, because you're asking people to be vulnerable. You're asking them to share their thoughts and feelings and do some introspective work, which may not always be comfortable. So it's really important to build that and then be able to provide these in-depth workshops where teachers actually have time to practice. You know, social-emotional learning is, like you said, it may not be something that's familiar, but it also, it's like a math problem or reading or writing. It is a skill and it needs to be practiced. So finding that space for them. And what I've seen when we're doing the workshops is that, you know, we talk about some key indicators for teachers to be able to identify what they're doing in their classrooms that maybe they don't even realize already aligns with the best practices for implementing social-emotional learning. So, you know, things like explicit instruction. Are you really talking about how to be a kind person and how to cultivate that environment where everybody feels welcome and inclusive? We talk about how to integrate that with academics. So in your lesson design, it's how you are delivering that message and giving the feedback to your students, and then also giving them their own voice and being a part of that process. So for teachers to be able to come into this space that we create a culture, we say this is our supportive environment, ideas are welcome, this is the time for you to practice, to explore, to share together. You know, one of the best compliments I've heard from participating in that is, I needed this time and space to really think about what this looks like for my classroom and what this looks like for my students. Mm-hmm. And to have time to practice what I'm going to do with my students as a student myself, and especially when we're talking about using technology, being able to utilize those pieces in a safe space where you're not in front of your students at that point, you're not getting evaluated in your classroom. So it's really about, you know, I needed this to be able to have this reflection time, but also have the space to build, you know, a getting started point in my classroom, or to recognize the things that I'm already doing and to build on those, you know, using that growth mindset. What am I doing well, and what can I still learn, and what can I build on and do better in my classroom. So from that aspect, I think teachers really appreciate the professional development side of this, because then they have the opportunity to actually come away with something tangible that they can use in their classroom, and then also look forward and build on their own goals for how this is going to continue as they, you know, continue to implement this practice in their classroom.
Yeah, you know, and the word you kept using, it kept coming up, and it's so important, is time. All right?
Time.
But it's more than just teachers having time to prepare, okay?
Right.
It that reflects down to the students. And I'll just use an obvious example. I used to hate, and I still do probably, though I haven't taken one in 5 billion years. Okay, I used to hate timed tests. Because that's not the way people think. And we talk about STEM, and you guys have this on your website. Okay, I'm just going to read this off your website. This is in the social-emotional section. Teaching skills like creative problem-solving, persistence, and perseverance, and if I may add, dealing with failure along the way, can greatly help students learn to enjoy the daily challenges they might face in a STEM career. All right?
Right.
And I think you putting that into the tools that you would use to teach STEM is incredibly important. We don't have to race through it. I'll tell you a cool thing. My oldest friend in the world is a professor at Columbia. His name is Stu Feierstein. Okay? And he's a world-renowned professor of neuroscience. But he's also renowned for a book he wrote, which is called Failure. Okay? And it's all about how science has built itself basically upon failure. 99% of science experiments have failed, but it's that 1% that makes all the difference in the world. You got to deal with failure till you get to the right one. It's really a great book. It's called Failure, Stu Feierstein. It's an enjoyable read. All right? And the point is that's exactly the kind of thing, okay, that you guys are saying is when teachers use our Boxlight products, we have to give the kids the time, okay, to use them and understand them, okay, and deal with it and build slower than we might have expected before. And that is good social-emotional learning. What do you think of my new philosophy?
I like your new philosophy, and I'll definitely have to check out that book. Yeah, I mean, these are all founded on, you know, best practices. We model from the Collaborative for Academic Social Emotional Learning, so CASEL's model. So when you think about the five key components of SEL, so self-awareness, self-management, responsible decision-making, relationship skills, and that social awareness, when you think of that in the context of STEM and design thinking, and you talk about the five E's, all of those skills that you're asking for to build in social emotional learning have a place in that in STEM. So we talk about, you said, the failures, the progression, like how we explore and how we go in and why are we making these decisions, and having students be able to collaborate and work together and problem solve. And these are life skills as well. And that's
right.
You know, SEL, we have the intra and interpersonal skills that we're developing. So when you think about it from the lens of STEM, like you said, there is this approach that failure is okay and it's actually welcomed. We want you to, you have to try, you have to do, you have to explore, and then you have to expand on that, those ideas. And I think that's where the technology piece is lends itself so well to this, is because it gives another way for students to be able to express their thoughts and ideas. It's not one pathway. We're not giving them just one way to do things. Nobody likes to be told that you have to do it this way. Like you said, you didn't enjoy the time test, right? So if you're telling me that I can only share my thoughts and ideas by writing it down, well, if I'm not comfortable writing or that's not the best way that I express myself, what other ways or what other avenues can I use to explore and share my thoughts and ideas? And I think technology, we can use, you know, our STEM interactive lessons and materials and our 3D printing and all of those pieces that are tangible and students can see those outcomes in real time. But then we also think about using audio and video and, you know, visual representations. So it gives the students another way to share their voice and understanding. So I think from that perspective, the technology can be really powerful because it, again, it's like it models from Universal Design for Learning. It complements SEL. It's a vehicle for that student voice. And we know that we all use different parts of our brains to do different types of things. So we're not any one of us is like the other. So if I'm not comfortable sharing in one specific way or communicating my thoughts or ideas in that way, technology can give me a pathway that might feel more comfortable. And as we're looking at achievement and goals and building students up for careers, we all have to interact in these multiple means to represent ourselves. So I think that's important too, to build up those skills for the students as they're, you know, working college and career readiness, or those future ready skills that we talk about with students as well.
I think it's important and well said. By the way, you stole my next question. I was going to talk all about student voice, but you already answered it, which is wonderful.
Well, okay? I can talk even more on that.
you're welcome to, and I'll tell you why I think it's important. Okay, giving students voice and some choice in there, okay, and mm-hmm. learning them, having them understand failure, that that's just a progression, et cetera, that gives them confidence. All right, and you know, you're listening is my point. If you wish to continue on that, be my guest, because I love the topic. Go ahead. I'll let you go. Go ahead. Go.
Yeah.
No.
No, I think absolutely. You know,
because I'm in agreement with you. I love it. Yeah.
You know, technology is not always the answer, and I think, you know, when you bring technology and something like a big learning strategy like social emotional learning together, that can feel intimidating. But again, it goes back to, what do you feel comfortable with? What do your students know? And then building on those in order for us to, you know, have the opportunity for students to share their broad range of perspectives and experiences. So again, I mentioned in the beginning, breaking it down in smaller pieces for teachers. So using your creative digital apps so they can have different ways to express and engage themselves. You mentioned STEM. That's something that's tangible,
yeah,
where they're actually practicing those pieces. Looking at, if you have your interactive flat panel that's in the classroom, you know, how students can share their ideas or screen share what they've created or work collaboratively in small groups. There's lots of ways that what we already have in the classroom can then give students the chance to share their voice. But I think the other piece that we haven't touched on yet with that is having students be a part of the conversation in creating their classroom culture. You know, you talked about, what are teachers saying? It is most impactful when students are part of the decision making or the design of what this looks like for them in their classroom. So, you know, what does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What do we want our classroom culture to be like? And not dictating that to students, but having them be a part of that process. And with technology, we can have students share their thoughts and ideas through all those different means and then bring it together collectively to sort of to design what our classroom culture is, what our norms, our own expectations are for ourselves. So I think it's really important for students to be a part of the process with the teachers. So if teachers don't feel comfortable in leading this, then let's open the door and let's do this together. And that can start from, you know, a kindergarten classroom all the way up through high school. Every student should have the opportunity to share in their own design and what feels safe to them, what feels comfortable for them, where do they feel most empowered for their learning, and what great information as an educator to have that and then be able to implement that and show students how much their voice is valued, which really speaks and lends itself to what we're talking about today with social emotional learning.
Boy, it really does. And I'll tell you, that's something I haven't talked about a lot on here. People haven't brought that up, and I think that's very important, okay? Is that, and I always use this example, and I'll use Walmart, okay? Walmart doesn't move forward unless they ask the customers, okay? The store changes not because of what the Walmart bosses want, but the bosses are finding out what the customers want. You can take that to any company that you want to. Okay, and,
right,
and we have been a little bit lax in asking what the customers want, and the customers are the kids, okay, in education,
mm-hmm,
and it pays off in the long run, because as people become adults, they reflect back on their school experience, and if their school experience was engaging and wonderful and fun and they learned a lot, they're going to have a very different attitude. As adults, okay, in a community that have to pay for education, okay, all this, you know, what we do at the beginning, what goes around comes around, as I like to say. That's a very interesting point that you make, is get them involved and get them engaged, and too often we didn't do that, and that's a major change, again, in how education is set up. All right, but we make it engaging, it works and all that sort of stuff, you know. We got to leave in just a few minutes. Chris, just talk for a few minutes as we wind down here. What's popular with Boxlight right now in terms of what the teachers are asking for? What are they using, and do they see this big role of SEL within it?
Yeah, and I think for us, you know, I mentioned all of our different hardware and software, but what we're really focusing on to help, you know, bridge that technology with social-emotional learning is, you know, our professional development offer, because that is so important. Like you said, teachers don't feel like they're being trained. So let's
Yep.
spend that time. Let's invest in that PD for teachers. And also, you've made this investment in technology. How can that lend itself to your initiatives of bringing SEL into the classroom? So that's a huge component for this. The other is we've developed this campaign with ways to get started in using technology. We started a 5 ways campaign, so how to use your interactive flat panel to support SEL. Those key indicators that I talked about, you know, explicit instruction, that youth voice and engagement piece, how technology can lend itself to that, and even just 5 ways to get started using technology to support
Yep.
this. You mentioned our webpage that we have that's dedicated to this, but it's really focusing on, you know, bringing in the flat panel that or front of the classroom technology that you may have, how we can utilize STEM and our other software programs like Mimio Connect or Mimio Studio to bring that collaboration and engagement where students have a chance to practice those skills. And that can be, you know, it can be specific to SEL, or it can be embedded in those academic lessons. And then also, you know, talking about how we bring in the audio and visual pieces. So when we spend a good deal of time speaking to students, different pathways to express themselves, those pieces of technology can really help support that and bring that student engagement and collaboration and that real-time feedback. And, you know, one thing I like to always bring up, because I don't think it's a part of the conversation enough, is the recognition piece and taking time to celebrate and recognize character achievements. You know, not every student is going to be able to be recognized for their academic prowess or their academia, but all students can be recognized for their character or for being kind. So having that designated space, whether that be using affirmations on your panel in the morning to recognize students, or having them give praise to peers in a collaborative digital space, and really practicing giving them the opportunity to use language that's descriptive, giving the why they're getting the feedback that they're getting, why somebody's being recognized for the work that they're doing, or why something wasn't successful, and being really intentional with the language that we're using. And I think technology is often a space where we're giving that feedback or we're having that dialogue. And so that's a great space to bring that self-awareness, but also a great space to get started. So I hope with this conversation, as well as all these different initiatives, we're giving different entry points for teachers and districts to bring SEL and the technology they have in the classroom to work together, instead of, you know, two separate entities. And Larry, I can't hear you anymore, but hopefully you're still there.
I'm here. Are you? Can you hear me now?
Okay.
Yeah,
I can't.
Sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
I apologize to everybody for that. I had my phone on mute when I made a little coughing sound. I just put it on.
Oh, okay.
Take it off of that. Okay. You guys have a very terrific infographic that is available at boxlight.com/social-emotional-learning. 5 key indicators for social-emotional learning integration in the classroom. And it's simple. It's cute. And it's a one-page reminder of how to get this done, to incorporate SEL within all the other things that you're doing in the classroom. And I think it's really – so I hope people wind up downloading that, et cetera. Thank you, Krista. This was just great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me again. I always appreciate talking to you, and happy holidays.
Oh, pleasure. Same to you. Even in Gilbert, maybe it'll snow this year. You have a white Christmas. You don't want that. You don't want that. No,
I'm all
good,
not shoveling stuff.
No, you don't want that. You just have a cup of tea, enjoy the cooler weather, all right? You take care out there.
All right.
Have a good holiday. Thank you so much.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. Oh, bye, Krista. Didn't mean to interrupt you as you said goodbye, so I appreciate it. Krista Walker from Boxlight, boxlight.com. Boxlight.com/social-emotional-learning should take you right to where you want to go. They got this nice infographic that's available for you that you can download. Okay, good stuff all the way around, and I like the way they're thinking about this and making it work, and so many companies are doing that these days. There is a new paradigm, and it's in social-emotional learning and bringing that to the forefront, equalizing it with academic learning. I think it's very important. We'll archive at ace-ed.org, and from there you can go to seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.